Joining us now is an executive director of the New Civil Liberties Alliance and also former chief of staff to congressman at the time, Mike Pompeo. With everything going on in the hearings today with Amy Coney Barrett and court packing talks on that, Mark Chenoweth, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So right before the break, I played the clip from Senator Mike Lee about what he was asking Amy Coney Barrett regarding the dangers of packing the court. So I wanted to ask you a similar question. Really, what is the big deal about packing the court? What's the danger of it?
Well, I think the danger is it's really an authoritarian idea and an authoritarian tactic. And when I say that, I really mean two things. I mean, first, that the court is supposed to protect minority rights from majority power. It's the one thing in the Constitution that's built in there that's counter-majoritarian. And if we overturn the court with packing it because there's a new president, a new Senate, and they want to add more justices and change the makeup of that court, that's just putting it under the thumb of the majority. And so you're destroying minority rights, individual rights. And then the other thing you're doing is you're destroying the independence of the judiciary. And that combination is really something we can't have in a country that values the rule of law and democracy.
Yeah, and it made me just speculate for a moment. So let's just say, you know, Joe Biden gets in and they say, oh, okay, we're going to add 6 more justices. We'll pop it up to 15. And then next thing you know, around the next cycle, another Republican gets in and they say, okay, we're just going to add 10 more. You know, so if everyone just goes and just packs it and packs it and packs it away, just think about how that would look for us, not only when it comes to our justice system, but what a complete mess that would bring us. I think there's a reason why in the last 150 years we've had this sort of balance, and it's the right type of balance, and how dangerous it is to use that and try to weaponize that sort of thing. You know, one of the other things I wanted to bring up to you was the whole hearings in general. So we had the opening statements yesterday, and today we had some opportunities for the senators to ask questions to Amy Coney Barrett. I want to just get your general impressions of what you've seen so far, any people that may stand out, questions you've seen that stand out.
Well, I think that it was par for the course in the sense of the questions from the Democrat senators on the Judiciary Committee. I thought that the thing that stood out to me above all was Judge Barrett's poise and her ability to just listen attentively for hours and hours on end, take in all of those questions, and then react exactly the way that you would want a judge to react, with grace, with dignity, with respect, with humility. And even though she couldn't answer the questions in the sense that they were wanting her to take positions on cases that might be before her, and she explained that she can't do that and without compromising her judicial independence. But I thought that the quality of her answers was really high, and she's just clearly a very intelligent jurist and someone we should all be proud to have on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, everything we've seen so far, she's a 10 out of 10. She's been fantastic. And I'm curious your background when it comes to watching, monitoring the Supreme Court, maybe some of the things, or how long you've been monitoring this sort of thing. And does this give you any impressions that we could see a Justice Scalia Part 2, considering she studied under him?
Yeah, it's possible. I guess I've been studying this pretty closely since about 2002. From 2002 to 2004, I served in the Bush Justice Department and worked in large part on judicial nominations during the first Bush term. So I've been following it pretty closely since then, and I think I've seen a lot of judges come through. I've probably worked on 40 different judges. I've seen a lot of judges come through with preparation and so forth, and she's right at the top of the list in terms of her ability here that we're seeing in these hearings.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, her name has always been floated around, and since President Trump had the opportunity to put two nominees up, and so far has two, but now this third one, I think her name was always there. Like, it was just right on the threshold to getting nominated. And now that I see her in action, I'm so impressed, and I wondered, why wasn't she one of the first ones they brought up? She's fantastic.
Well, and she well could have been. She was certainly on the short list when Kavanaugh was picked. And I think that what Trump said at the time, or what he was reported to have said at the time, was that he was going to save her in case the Ginsburg seat came open. And, well, that's exactly what happened. So maybe it worked out for the best. But yeah, I think that she's clearly shown that she deserves all the approbation that's been coming her way.
You know, what do you think about the approach that some of the Democrats that are able to ask questions to Amy Coney Barrett, the approach that they're taking is basically a way to try to slight President Trump? So they're asking questions in a way that are trying to You know, it's almost like, hey, we can give a kidney punch to the president here in the way that we can ask this question that doesn't seem to apply not only to the character or even the track record of Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, we saw that from a few of the senators. Senator Booker, notably, was asking questions along those lines of, you know, asked Judge Barrett whether she opposed white supremacy, for example, and of course she said yes, she abhors it, and you know, I wish the president could say it as you know resolutely as you have, kind of thing. And I guess it's political theater, so I understand, and maybe that's the risk of having these hearings during election season is that you get a little more grandstanding than you ordinarily would get. But I think that she's handled that, and you haven't seen her return that in any sort of inappropriate way. So I think the senators their politicians are going to behave like politicians.
Mark Chenoweth joins us, executive director of the New Civil Liberties Alliance. So tell me about that organization. What do you do as an organization?
Sure. NCLA defends people's civil liberties from administrative agencies that have run amok. So it could be state level, and more often it's federal level. But if there's someone's individual rights that are being violated by the EPA or the Centers for Disease Control or the FDA, or we have a couple cases with the Securities and Exchange Commission, FTC, folks can go to our website at ncla.legal, and they can see all the different cases that we're involved in. But we're nonpartisan. We don't care about the politics of our clients or the politics of the people that we go after. We just care about defending people's individual liberties from government excess.
So when you hear civil liberties, one of the first things you think about is the ACLU, and it seems like they take up very little of these cases anymore. So was this brought up as a necessity because you saw there was just an opening of people that have been victims of certain crime? Well, I should say not victims of crimes, but have accused certain instances where they felt they were victimized, and then these other organizations were picking it up?
Yeah, there's definitely some overlap between the kind of cases that I think that the old style ACLU would have brought and some of the cases that we're bringing. I think that civil libertarians can cross the aisle, and there isn't really any political valence, if you will, to some of the cases that we do. But there's also something different that I think is apart from what the ACLU did. Our founder is a guy named Philip Hamburger, who's a professor at Columbia Law School, and he wrote a book called Is Administrative Law Unlawful? Short answer, yes. And he pointed out that all these administrative agencies that we have that are violating people's rights are really behaving exactly the same way that King George III behaved, with royal prerogative and dispensing special favors and all these kinds of things. And folks say that the administrative state isn't in the Constitution, but really that's not right. Really, the Constitution was written so that we would never have that kind of government, and yet slowly but surely, that's what has evolved at the federal level, at least.
Wow. So, by the way, people wanted to look up your organization, your website. Where can they find you?
NCLA.legal is our website, and I would love to have people check that out. We have an article on there that goes into greater depth about some of the cases that Amy Coney Barrett has been involved in as well, if folks are interested in that.
Oh, that's good. What do you? What's your level of confidence that she'll be a Supreme Court justice?
Oh, I think that she's well on her way. I think it's got to be certainly upwards of 90% at this point. You never know what sort of things might be being held back for after the hearings. We've seen that a couple times before, but I've heard no rumblings of that. I think she's in great shape.
I heard too. Did you hear part of the testimony today from Senator Ted Cruz just regarding some of the super PAC money that will be going into these negative ads against her? Apparently, they'll be running here very soon. I don't know if you caught that part of the testimony.
I saw part of Senator Cruz's testimony. I didn't see that part. It doesn't surprise me. There's been millions of dollars spent on both sides of these last several Supreme Court appointments. But I just don't think that. That's going to sway too many people. I suppose what's happening, and I think this is part of what's going on with court packing here too. And you were asking a great question about some of these questions that seem really not really directed at her, but directed at the audience. Is I think that they're trying to shape what the Supreme Court does in the future. They're trying to, like, court packing is a threat that's trying to cow the Supreme Court ahead of any effort to pack it. So even if Biden wins and he never packs it, there's still that threat that's being held over the heads of the justices so that they maybe don't vote their conscience the way that they ought to do. And I think the same thing with all these questions about harm that might come from a ruling that went a certain way on the Affordable Care Act case. They're trying to make it more difficult for the justices to follow the law and come up with decisions that follow the law and instead do something that's closer to what the political leanings are of the people asking the questions today.
Yeah, and I know this is going to sound a little weird, but sometimes these ideas get floated around and it becomes like a virus. So at the start, you look at it and you say, oh boy, that's our immune system, our constitution, the way that we govern will be able to flush that sort of thing out. But slowly but surely, it starts to spread and all of a sudden it becomes more acceptable because we've been talking about it so much, asking the question about it so much. And then next thing you know, 20 or 30 years down the line, there's some serious considerations of it. You know, today we can look at it and talk about its dangers, but then in the future, you may wonder, wow, what if they really do take something like this seriously? And if they bring this up on the campaign trail, if every senator in the future is going to be asked this question over and over and over again, and it gets implanted into people's minds, it only takes a certain amount of, you know, progressive thinking like the AOCs of the world that find their way getting more power or maybe finding their way to the Senate that try to legitimize this sort of thing. And all you need is a couple of senators at points to try to get a vote like that through. And it could be very dangerous.
Well, and when Joe Biden was saying that he would tell you his opinion the day after the election, I thought what he was really saying is it depends on how many Senate votes I pick up. You know, if I've got a Senate of 51, I probably can't pack the court. But if I've got a Senate of 57 or 58, I probably can pack the court. But the other thing that you've seen the last few days, and I think this is kind of Orwellian, is that they've been changing the definition of court packing. You talked about it right up front, what court packing is. It's adding justices. But they've been calling what the Republicans are doing right now with Amy Coney Barrett court packing, right? They've been trying to use that term to describe the absolutely legal and normal process of confirming a justice to the Supreme Court through Judiciary Committee hearing and a floor vote on the Senate. Yeah. That's not court packing. But when they call it that, they're trying to, they know the term is negative, and so they're trying to use that term to delegitimize Justice Barrett's confirmation.
Oh, yeah.
Judge Barrett's confirmation.
They've gone even further. In fact, they say that during the last 4 years of President Trump, three and some plus years of President Trump, any of the appointees he had on the federal level account to court packing as well. They say, oh, look at him. Look at all these different federal appointments. Look at all these different judges he got on the bench. Now, keep in mind, there were openings that needed to be filled, and that's kind of the duty, and the president gets the ability to do these things. But they call that court packing, too. So they're using it very liberally in the way of the term because they know there's that negative connotation. And who knows if people really know what it is. They just know that it's a bad thing.
Right. Exactly. I think that's what's happening there.
Yeah.
Mark,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it's such an authoritarian move. It would permanently wreck the independence of the federal judiciary, which has been a real hallmark of protection for civil liberties. So I hope that we don't go down this road.
Yes. So again, you're the executive director for the New Civil Liberties Alliance. If people wanted to look that up and maybe some of the articles you have on Amy Coney Barrett there, what's the website?
It's ncla.legal.
ncla.legal. Mark Chenoweth, thank you so much for the time tonight. Very informative. I enjoyed our conversation.
I did too. Thanks for having me, Ryan.